As we look into the Word of God together before we go to prayer together, I appreciate you being here. Good Wednesday night crowd. Appreciate those visiting with us and those who are here. Every time the door's open, I appreciate it. I appreciate you doing the right thing. John chapter 21, I began this message on Sunday morning, and I encourage you, if you were not here, to go back and get it so you can be up to date with where we are. This is a great chapter as we've been studying this book together. We're going to be completing this book study tonight. It's always kind of a sad time to me when I come to the end of a book study. It's been a great journey. I've enjoyed my study through it, and I hope you've enjoyed traveling through it with us. In John chapter 21, this is a great story. The Lord has been resurrected from the dead, and I'm going to read down through verse number 7. Look at verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. They were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, it's John identifying himself, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. And I want you to notice that phrase there, It is the Lord. And this is part two to this message on that title, It is the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time. And I pray as we devote this time to studying your word, I pray that you calm our hearts and calm our spirits. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be completely focused upon you and your word. Would you speak to our hearts, challenge us tonight? I pray that my heart will be right and clean. If there's anything in my life hindering you, forgive me, remove it, and get it out, I pray. May your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this will be repeat, bringing us up to where we are. As we come to the final chapter of this wonderful book, we're reminded when we come to this chapter here that the Lord has just recently been betrayed. He has been arrested. He's been denied. He's been tortured. He's been crucified. And he's now been resurrected. And after the Lord's resurrection, he shows himself on several occasions, this chapter here being one of those occasions. During this particular chapter and this time, you notice that there are seven of the disciples of the Lord that are gathered together at the Sea of Tiberias. Simon Peter decides to go fishing, and the others just follow his lead. That particular night, they caught nothing. But in the morning, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not know that it was him. He called to them, asking them if they had caught any meat. Do you have any meat? Do you have any fish? And after they told him no, he said, Cast your net on the right side of the ship. And when they did, they were not able to draw the net to the ship for the multitude of fishes. When this happened, John told Peter, It is the Lord. This name means it's the controller, it's the master, it's the one that's supreme in authority, and it also means that is God standing over there. That's all in that name. It is the Lord. Now, it's this statement that the Lord grabbed my attention with as I was studying this in my study. This phrase, it is the Lord. And I began to see things in this chapter. It's the Lord that did that. It's the Lord that did that. It's the Lord that did that. And there are I think, five or six things here that we notice in this chapter that we can only say, it is the Lord that did that right there. Now, I've already given you several of these. Let me just tap the ones I've already preached on. You can go back for Sunday morning and listen to them in detail. Let me just tap these on the head. Number one, it is the Lord who impacted their fishing. This is found in verses 3 through 6, that without the Lord, they caught nothing. But with the Lord, they caught more than enough. And the great thought there is that we need God. He makes the difference. Number two, we notice that it is the Lord who invited them to come and dine. This is found in verses 9 to 13. And in that, we notice that the Lord invited these disciples to come close to him. Come and dine. Number three, we notice that it is the Lord who identified the true motive for service. In verses 15 to 17, he asked Peter three times, Peter, lovest thou me? And in this, he's showing Peter that the true motive for service is just loving the Lord. May God help all of us here tonight who claim Jesus Christ as our Savior. May he help us to serve him because we love him. To serve him because we just can't help ourselves. You know what I mean? I mean, we just love him so much that we want to do what he tells us to do. See, what we've lost is we've lost our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You show me somebody who stopped serving the Lord, and I'll show you somebody who stopped loving him before they stopped serving him. It's that simple. Because when you truly love somebody, you will want to please them with your life. This was number three. He identified the true motive for service. Then number four, we see it's the Lord who involved an undeserving man. In those same verses, 15 to 17, he's telling Peter, he said, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter said, yea, you know that I love you, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. And in all of this, we studied this. I'm so tempted to start preaching on this again, but because this is such a powerful thought here, that this duty of feeding the lambs of God, feeding the sheep of God, he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. What a duty to be given. To be given the responsibility to feed the lambs of God, to feed the sheep of God. I mean, what a responsibility that is. You would think that Jesus would find the best, I'm talking about the most outstanding citizen. You'd think he'd try to find the one that never did anything wrong, the one that was so clean before him. But no, he dealt and he gave this responsibility to Peter. Peter, the one who just a few days before denied him. Three times. I mean, said, I don't even know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know. And even cussed and cursed, saying, I don't know this man. And it's that man that Jesus said, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. That speaks to my heart how it is the Lord who involved an undeserving man. Aren't you glad he involves undeserving people? If he didn't involve undeserving people, he couldn't use me. And I'll guarantee you this, don't let this offend you, he couldn't use you either. We're all undeserving, but it's the Lord who involves undeserving people. Now, we pick up our study with number five. These are two brief points. Now, I'm not going to say I'm going to be brief about it. I'm just saying the notes are brief, okay? And by the way, I remind you, anything I preach, if you'd like to have it, all my notes, you can have it. Just let me know. I'll send it to you. Number five, it is the Lord. It's all eyes, if you follow me, who impacted their fishing, who invited them to come and dine, who identified the true motive of service, who involved an undeserving man. Number five, it's the Lord who informed Peter of his future. Now we see this in verses 18 and 19. Notice this. He's talking to Peter and he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. This is a brief point, but the Lord spoke to my heart here. In these verses, we see the Lord tells Peter, he said, here's what it was in your life in the past. And Peter, here's what it's going to be like in your future. Now get this. The Word of God said he signified by what death Peter was going to glorify God. Now in this we see the Lord. Now get this. Let this speak to your heart. In this we see the Lord knew exactly what the future held for Peter. He knew exactly what Peter was going to go through. He knew exactly what they were going to do to Peter. And he knew exactly how he was going to die, when he was going to die, where he was going to die. He knew it all. He knew what was going to happen to him and even the time and manner of the death in which Peter would glorify God. Now get this. Even though this is a simple and a brief point, let us never forget that the Lord knows our future. He knows our future. As the saying goes, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. We spend so much time, now maybe you're not like me, but we spend so much time worrying about what might happen. What may happen? What might happen? Now, friends, he didn't sugarcoat it with Peter. And by the way, if he revealed our future to us, we probably wouldn't be able to take it, okay? But here's what I'm trying to get across. God doesn't want us to worry about our future because he already has it planned. He already knows. He knows what's coming. He knows what we're going to face. He knows what's in our future. He knows what's going to happen. See, we should rest in the fact that our Lord knows what the future holds, and we should simply leave it in his hands. In our country, in the direction our country's going, where the public school systems have received a letter from our federal government trying to demand them to allow transgender people to use any bathroom they like, you have no idea what the future of this country holds. We have no idea what it holds. Have no idea what direction we're going to go. I'll guarantee you this, if it's this direction, it's away from God and all these other kind of things. Who in the world in the right mind would ever dream that a man who thinks he's a woman could have the federal government behind him letting him go into the women's restroom and the women's showers and everything? That is perverted, my friends. That is ungodliness. And all I'm saying to you here, we don't know what the future holds, but I know somebody who does. The Lord knows the future. He knows what we're going to have to go through. He knows what we're going to have to stand. He knows all of these things. And all I'm saying to you is this, why do I need to worry about it? Now, do I worry? Yes, every now and then. But it doesn't make it right. All I'm saying to you is that our God knows the future. And we need to rest in that. That doesn't mean that there's no troubles. It wasn't for Peter. Put yourself in Peter's place. I mean, he told Peter here, he said, Peter, when you get old, you're going to stretch out your hand. Somebody's going to take you where you don't want to go. How'd you like to hear that? Thus signifying by what death he's going to die and glorify God. But may I say this to you? Even though Peter was going to be persecuted, even though Peter was going to stretch out his arms and go somewhere where he didn't want to go himself, God was going to use it to bring glory to himself. I don't understand all this, but I know God can use even what's going on in America to somehow get glory to his name. I'm not saying what's happening is glorifying him. Don't misunderstand me. But in the midst of it, God can orchestrate things to receive glory. He knows the future. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Where would we be if Jesus Christ was like, what's going to happen tomorrow? Well, I wonder what's going to happen to Jody. I don't know, but I sure hope he's ready for it. I mean, honestly, where would we be if our Lord didn't know the future? The Word of God says in Matthew 6:34, take no thought, therefore, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May I paraphrase? Don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough to deal with today. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. As a parent, I'm concerned with the future of my children. But one thing I can rest in is that my God, who is their God, is in control. And He knows their future. And He can use whatever happens to somehow get glory. We need to rest in that. Then a fifth and final thing is not only He informed Peter of his future, but in closing here, we notice it's the Lord who instructed Peter to keep his eyes off of John. Now notice this. As soon as the Lord told Peter what's going to happen to him in verse 18, and verse 19 says he was signifying by what death he should glorify God, and the Lord said, "Follow me, Peter. Follow me, Peter." Notice what Peter did, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" That's John. He's talking about himself. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" Now, isn't that just like us? Paraphrase. The Lord tells Peter, "Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go. I mean, you were free as a bird, but later they're going to tie you up. They're going to take you to a place you don't want to go, thus signifying by what death you're going to glorify me. You follow me." Peter turns around and sees John. "Lord, what's that guy going to do? What about him?" Notice what the Lord said in verse number 22. Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" In other words, people say, "Well, Jesus said he's not going to die." By the way, that's just like people too. Have you ever told them one thing and they repeat it and it was completely different from what you said? I'm sure that's not happened here, right? I mean, the Lord said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." What is the Lord doing here? The Lord is instructing Peter to get his eyes off other people. Get his eyes off of others. Now get this. I know I'm repeating here, but after the Lord told Peter about his personal future, Peter turns about and sees John and says, "What shall this man do?" To this end, the Lord rebuked Peter. This is a rebuke from the Lord. He's rebuking him. And he says, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you, Peter? You follow me." In other words, Peter, get your eyes off of John and just make sure that you're following me yourself. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you something. Every Christian needs to learn this principle right here. The point here is obvious. Let us focus our attention on what the Lord has given us to do and not on others. The Life Application Study Bible says, and I quote, "We tend to compare our lives to those of others, whether to rationalize our own level of devotion to Christ or to question God's justice." It's so easy to look at what others are doing, and it's so easy to look at what others are not doing. May I say this to you? Either way, there's nothing good that comes out of it for you and me. Because if you look at somebody who's not doing some things, it causes pride in your own heart. They're not doing what I'm doing. But if you look at others who are doing more than you're doing, it can cause covetousness, it can cause a judgmental spirit, it can cause everything else. It's just like in Hebrews chapter 12, where the Word of God says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." That means this: don't look at other people. God has given you a lane to run in. He's given you a will for your life. He's given you a work for your life. And get your eyes off of this person and off that person. If you look behind you, you get proud. If you look ahead of you, you get envious. You get jealous. You get judgmental. All I'm saying to you is this: God has given every one of His children a will for their lives. He has. He's given you a will and me a will. It is not my responsibility to do the will of God for you, and it's not your responsibility to do the will of God for me. God wants us to get our eyes off of others and just focus on what He's given us to do. What would happen, honestly, what would happen if every child of God took their eyes off of every other human being, focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and said, "What do you want me to do?" and do it? What would happen? What would happen? All I'm saying to you here is that God's will is personal. He wants you to do something specific with your life. And He wants you to get your eyes off other people. What about him? What about her? What's she going to do? What's God going to use them for? What's happening over there? Why am I not there? Why does he get to do that? Come on, friends. That'll eat you alive. It'll eat you alive. I pray often, and when I say often, I can't tell you how often it is, but I pray often, Lord, help us not to compare, help us not to complain, help us not to compete with other churches. Now think about it. Help us not to compete, help us not to compare, help us not to complain. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil will try to put in your mind that you don't have it as good as somebody else does. Or he'll try to put in your mind that you're better than somebody else. May I say this to you? Both of those are inaccurate. Nobody's better than anybody else. And God's been pretty good to all of us. Get our eyes off of other people. Hear this from the Lord. It is the Lord who said this. It is God who said this. It's the supreme in authority who's, that's all in that name, Lord. It is the controller, it's the master who said this to Peter. Peter, if it's my will that John live until I come back, what is that to you? Follow thou me. We need that. I need it. I don't know if you do, but I need that. Get my eyes off of everybody else and make sure that I am simply doing what God has called me to do. Now these are the six things that we notice in this chapter. And we can say, it is the Lord who did that. It's the Lord who did what? It's the Lord who impacted their fishing. He made the difference, and He still does today. It's the Lord who invited them to come and dine, and He still invites sinful men to come close to Him and find what their heart desires. It is the Lord who identified the true motive for service. It's not duty, it's not responsibility, but it's to be love for Jesus Christ. It is the Lord, not only who identified the true motive for service, but involved an undeserving man in His service. He didn't give it to John, He gave it to Peter. The one who no doubt was struggling because he just denied Him. I mean, the Word of God says that when he denied the Lord the third time, he went out and wept bitterly, the Bible says. He was brokenhearted. And no doubt the devil was trying to think and put in his mind, you're finished, Peter. You're done. You're no good, Peter. You're useless. He can't use you anymore. But yet the Lord is the one who said, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. It's the Lord who informed Peter of his future. Peter didn't know what the future held, but the Lord did. I don't know what the future holds, but the Lord does. I don't know what's going to happen to America, but the Lord does. And I know this, even though for Peter it was bad news, he simply told Peter, Peter, follow me. You know what God's marching orders are for this church with an unknown future? Just follow the Lord. Follow Jesus. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm not trying to be proud or boastful. You know my heart. But it is in my heart to take a stand for whatever God wants us to stand for. Let come what may. Easy to say it, I know that. And I may be tested with what I just said in the future, I understand. But if God helps me, we will stand for what's right at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And we will ask God to help us follow you no matter what comes. And it's the Lord who instructed Peter to get his eyes off John. May I say this to you? What a chapter. What a chapter in the Word of God. That as we follow the Lord, we are so tempted to turn our eyes and look at that person or that person or this person, or what about that person, or what about this one, and the whole time the Lord says, what is that to you? You follow me. Now, as we conclude this book study, let's read the final two verses here. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. In other words, John's saying this, everything I'm writing down this book, it's the truth. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. In this closing chapter, we see it's the Lord who impacted their fishing, invited them to come and dine, identify the true motive for service, involved an undeserving man in service, informed Peter of his future, instructed Peter to keep his eyes off of others. But as we come to the close of this glorious book and we read these two verses, let me just simply conclude this book the way John does. How true are these words? These words are true and they're faithful. And John's testimony is true, and there are many other things the Lord did that if they tried to write them all down, they supposed the world itself could not contain the books. Now what's that tell you? That tells you the half has not even been told. Right? Not even the half has been told. But what they wrote down and what John wrote down in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in the Gospel of John is enough to show somebody how they can go to heaven when they die. But when we get to heaven, maybe we'll get to hear about all those other things he did. Be interesting to hear the Lord tell us what he did, won't it? Sit down for a couple thousand years. And let me just inform you of some of the other things I did. I don't know what all the future holds. But I know the future for a child of God is mighty bright. Because we're on the winning side. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight, and I thank you for the privilege to preach again. And I pray that you'll do business with us from your word. Thank you that you know our future. And thank you, Lord God, that you have made the Christian life where each individual has a will of God. And help us to keep our eyes off of others. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I never want to let a service come and go without giving you the opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior. So I don't know your heart. I can guess, but I don't know your heart. I can't see your heart. But if tonight you have come to church, but you have never come to Christ, tonight is the night of salvation. The Word of God says today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. As they begin to play through softly, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, wonderful. If you haven't, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you as a child of God about your future. Maybe you've been concerned about your future. Maybe you've been burdened and worrying even about the future of this country or the future for your children or the future for your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. And you say, Jody, I needed this thought tonight that the Lord knows the future. I needed that. I needed that. Maybe you say you needed that tonight. Would you raise your hand? Yes, that's several of you. God bless you. You put your hands down. Thank you. Or maybe you're here tonight and say, Jody, God's using the point in my life about keeping my eyes off of other people. Yes, I have a tendency to look elsewhere and it sidetracks me from following the Lord myself because I let that person discourage me or I let that person cause pride in me. I have a problem like Peter looking at John, and you know who John is in your life, and they discourage my own walk with Jesus Christ. And God's using that in my life. And I need to keep my eyes off of others and just keep my eye on Him and fulfill what He's given me to do. That's what I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Yes, that's several of you. God bless you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to sing. If you raise your hand, I want to invite you to come. If you need to be saved, you come. If you want to come and ask God to help you rest in your future, you come. If you want to come and ask God to help you keep your eyes off of others, you come. Whatever it is, you come. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you please?
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to call on Brother Gary. He's going to come and do the missionary letters quickly, okay?
Let me just mention to you about our Fiji trip. I'm not sure who put this in the pamphlet here, but it says, pray specifically for the Deku family. I don't know if they're really concerned because our team is coming. I'm not sure about that, but the Lord has opened some wonderful opportunities for us. Let me give you a real quick rundown. We will be taking the services on Sunday in two different churches, and then we'll have the services the next Sunday in one church. We are going to be building. We are also going to be going into the public schools. And he sent me an email yesterday and said, it looks like you'll be able to minister to up to 2,500 children. 2,500. And so you pray for us. What an opportunity God has given to our team of 18 people. We'll be leaving 2 weeks from today. And then in the middle there, you'll see the Lawrence family. They're working in Romania. And they asked us to pray about their Sunday night meeting. Have a small group of people in the city called Mira. And then in the city called, I guess it's Leonda, they have a Sunday night meeting with about 12 to 13 attending. So both of these small works, but trying to do a work for the Lord. Secondly, the Jenkins are with the Rock of Ages prison ministry. And if you're not familiar with that ministry, they're going to the prisons and trying to reach people for Christ. They have a Bible study when men receive Christ. And currently they have 560 different men in this Bible study. So this is quite an opportunity. They go and they preach to the men, try to win them to Christ, and then disciple them. And then the Hendricks are in Ireland. They've been there now for 5 years. They planted a church, and they're getting ready to come home on furlough, and they're going to turn their church over to the Moore family. So this is obviously going to be a real time of transition in this church. So let's really pray for the transition in the church there in Ireland. The Hendricks, as they come home on furlough. The Jenkins, I didn't mention this. The Jenkins are trying to raise more support and as they minister in the prisons. And then the Lawrence family in Romania.
All right. If you'll keep your prayer sheet out, we're going to break up into our Sunday school groups tonight. And everyone will go to your Sunday school class with the exception of the following. The Victory Bible class will meet in here along with the Gideon class. We'll both meet in here. And then all preschool, this is nursery through 5 years old, will meet in the five-year-old department upstairs. Everybody else will go to your own department or class, and you will pray for the following. Now, keep this in mind here. Let me give you a couple of prayer requests to write in the prayer request section here, because I hope you keep this and pray for these things throughout the week and all of that, and I'll give these fairly quickly. First one is Leila Hensley, L-E-I-L-A. This is Brother Hoppy Brown's sister, and we're praying for her during this time. Linda Hensley, one of our faithful ladies, struggling with cancer, and she's in constant pain. Miss Pam Pruitt, very much pain right now. We want to continue to pray for her. Mac Bacon having radiation treatments. And then Shirley Cash has a scan tomorrow. A scan tomorrow. So that is Leela Hensley, Linda Hensley, Pam Pruitt, Mac Bacon, and Shirley Cash. When you break up into your groups, I'd like for every one of us to pray for the following. All of us pray for the following. We're praying for the Fiji mission trip coming up. We're praying for the Vacation Bible School on the back. And we're praying for our own classes, okay? Our own classes, the Fiji trip, Bible school. And then one more here. Brother Bob is having Donut Day at Daniel Boone on this Friday. That's an outreach. That's one of the large days that we have there. The donuts bring them in other words. And somebody preaches the gospel, so pray for that. That's from 11 to 1 on Friday. I'd like for us all to pray for that as well, okay? Then, just listen for your group here. Nursery through five-year-old, first grade, are praying for the left inside pocket here, okay? The left inside. Second and third grade are praying for the center section. Fourth and fifth grade are praying for the right inside. That's the missionary section there all the way down. The sixth grade and single purpose class and Gideon class, Gideon single purpose and sixth grade, will be praying for the back left. That's the one that has the hospital on it. Okay, all of that there. The Berean class is praying for the right inside. That is the missionary section there. The Victory Bible class will help pray for the center section. That's the Sunday school page right there in the middle. The Home Builders class will pray for the left inside. That's the one with the special prayer requests and all of that on it. And the men's class, this is the right inside. And then I want the new men's class also to do the right inside, which is the missionaries. And the new ladies class, I want you to help pray for the center section. Okay, the center section. I went through that quickly. If you forget what that is, just pray for something on the prayer list. All right? Thank you very much. You're dismissed to go to your respective places. You've got about 10 minutes once you get...
Gideon's in here too?
Gideon and...
They'll be front.
Yes.
Okay, Victory Lord. Bible class. We will be back on this side of the auditorium in the back five or six rows. The Gideon class will be on this side in the front five or six rows. So make note of that. Again, Victory Bible class back four or five rows on the piano side.